Well, good morning, Emmanuel. We're going to open up our Bibles to John chapter 3, that which Doug just read toward the end of chapter 3. And we're going to continue where we left off a couple months ago, see if we can get right back on track again. And so note that from the Gospel of John, the Apostle John, one of the apostles of Jesus, who wrote this Gospel, who wrote a number of letters, who wrote the book of Revelation, that there was only one purpose for which he wrote. And he says, these things are written that you may know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing that, you may have life in his name. He wants you to know that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is God. And knowing that, believing that, you have life, eternal life in his name. Now, this morning, I'm going to be talking about the one part of this. And in at 10:15, I'm going to be talking about Christology, the way in which the Bible claims and shows us beyond any doubt that Jesus is God. The Bible passages, everything that comes together. So if you want to have that part of it, the 10:15 part over there in the church house, Jesus is God, that's the part that will be at 10:15. Today, this morning, we're going to be talking about humility. Because when you think about John writing the gospel and talking about Jesus, that he is God, it began, remember, in chapter 1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word. And already we learn that this Jesus Christ who came to earth was the one who by his own voice created everything that exists, and not only that, but recreates in us all that we have, are, and will become. And then we learned how Jesus went to the River Jordan, and there he was met by God the Father and the Holy Spirit in this theophany of the triune God, and affirmed his presence as the one who was to come to change forever our destiny in the world. Then he went over and he did a miracle and he changed water to wine and he went over to Jerusalem and he cleansed the temple and he talked to Nicodemus, and this whole process, he's showing his divinity. And now after doing a number of miracles, he's going back down to the Jordan River. And at that time, there's this encounter again with John the Baptist, who we had met earlier. And John the Baptist sees him. And John the Baptist says, he must become greater. I must become less. He must become greater. He must become known as the one who is the Savior, Lord God. I must become less. And so that idea of becoming less, that idea of becoming a dim star, fading in as the sun of righteousness is rising, is what we're going to look at today, because the first law of ministry is humility. If we have nothing else to offer, just by humbling ourselves, we put ourselves in a place where we can walk in another person's shoes and show who Jesus is. You have to understand that the power position that John the Baptist held. Jesus said of John the Baptist, he is the greatest man who has ever lived to this time. Why would that be? There was no other prophet. He was the only star shining in the night sky. For 400 years, there had been no voice of God. And now he's speaking, and this voice of God is heralding the coming of the Messiah. And yet this prophet, beyond all prophets, this man who was the greatest man to have ever lived, what did he look like? What did he wear? What did he do? What did he say? He wore camel's hair and a leather belt. What did he eat? He ate grasshoppers for dinner. He microwaved grasshoppers. He had wild honey for dessert. And what did he say? He says, I am nothing. My joy is in being hidden. My goal is to bring Christ into view. My message is to bring Christ to bear in everything. You know, I can think of nothing worse than for somebody to come into this church and to say, I came here looking for Jesus, but Ed Krueger got in the way. That's the way John the Baptist felt. Now, you know, I've been to UCLA, and they've done a little number on my vocal cords to get me to talk. And on the way to UCLA this last week, we passed by Valencia. Any of you been to the Magic Mountain? How many of you have been to Magic Mountain? Raise your hand. How many of you have looked at Magic Mountain? How many of you know there's a Magic Mountain somewhere in Valencia? How many of you have ever ridden a roller coaster? Raise your hand. How many of you love roller coasters? Raise your hand. How many of you hate roller coasters? Raise your hand. How many of you gone on one of these tilt-a-things? Well, round upside down. How many of you have had your hands up in the air as you've gone upside down? How many of you are lying right now? Gotcha. You know, before you go on a roller coaster, they got this sign. Warning. Very hazardous, dangerous. Don't go on this if you're a little child, if you have a heart condition, if you have recent neck surgery, or if you're a wimp. And that's how I feel sometimes as I'm getting into the Gospel of John. I'm getting into the Gospel of John, and I think, wow, all this that John is throwing before me, and it's only chapter 3 that we're on right now. All that John is throwing before me, and he's telling me now, yeah, instead of pursuing my dream, he's saying, be humble. He's doing a topsy-turvy. He's making me do a loop. He's making me put my arms up in the air when I'm upside down, and I don't know how far I can get into the Gospel of John. Everything about what he's saying to me is counterintuitive, and that's exactly how God operates in our lives. I was reading a while back about how people would line up, and they would pay big money to get the signature of Donald Trump, Hulk Hogan, all the other celebrities, and they would sit down at these dinners, and they would pay money to get these autographs. And I was thinking, how many people would pay to get an autograph of the most humble person in America? You see, that's not even a category. That's not even something we think about. But Jesus says it's an upside down thing. You got to be hanging upside down in your thinking to be with Jesus on the radar. Jesus says if you want to be great, what did Doug say? You've got to be humble. Matter of fact, in Matthew 23, he says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's how John the Baptist operated. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples, after they had done the miracles, after the cleansing of the temple and talking to Nicodemus, walking on down, they went over to the River Jordan. Remember where the River Jordan is? It's east of, where is it? East of Jerusalem someplace? Have you been there? East of Jerusalem somewhere. And they're down there, and that's where John was baptizing. Jesus and his disciples go over there, and John and his disciples say, oh, you're here now? Okay, we'll go on up to no man's land, up in Samaria somewhere, and we'll baptize because there's some water over here and people over here in Samaria. So Jesus gets the prime real estate near Jerusalem, and John the Baptist gets kicked out to Samaria to go do his thing in Samaria. And so finally, the disciples of John, either John's okay with this. I must become less, Jesus must become more. But the disciples of John weren't quite there yet. And they would start to arguing among themselves with the Jewish people. And they're saying, you know, this isn't right. That guy doesn't even mention his name, if you notice. That guy over there is getting all the good stuff, and we get all the bad stuff. How come? What gives? What's going on here? And John the Baptist has to say, don't you understand? I'm not the Christ. I'm not the guy. We get to point to the guy. And we do this by allowing him to increase as we get to decrease. It's not about me. So let's see how this works for a couple of minutes. First of all, humility governs our ambition. Matthew 18. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says. Whoever humbles himself like this child right over here is the one who enters into the kingdom of heaven. Now, right away, we need to understand something. When we talk about being like a child, are we talking about being childish, or are we talking about being childlike? Because being childish is being demanding. Being childlike is being depending. Let me tell you what it's like to be childish. I was at one of the shopping plazas a little while ago, and there was this middle-aged man who I guess is always expecting that he gets his way whenever he wants. Anyway, he couldn't find what he wanted, and he couldn't find a clerk to show him what he wanted. And so finally, in the middle of the store, he yells out, clerk! And everybody looks at him like he's an idiot, which he was. But I mean, what's with that guy? What's going on in his life? Some people are adults, but they're like, act like children. They have tantrums. You know people like that? Maybe you're living with one. And it happens. People are acting childish. That's not what Jesus says. You can't live that way. I mean, yeah, you can. A lot of people who are demanding get a lot of stuff. Because what does that saying go? The squeaky wheel? And you can get rich. You can do a lot of things. You can demand your way to a lot of things. A little water, please. You can't really demand yourself. Thank you. You can't really demand yourself to the really good things in life. You cannot demand your way into a relationship. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to demand love from someone? I want you to love me. I want a relationship to work better. Does that work? No, it's just what it does is it just drives it further apart, right? You can't demand the really great things in life. But you can be depending. You can be childlike. Now I'm thinking here of children, the role of children. You know what the one thing that children do? They depend on their parents. They depend on their parents for everything. You parents and grandparents, you know what you are? You're one giant ATM machine. That's what you are. You're one giant ATM machine. And every time a child comes, Daddy, I need. Daddy, I want. And clink, 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 clink. And they get, right? They get what they need. God says, I want to be your ATM machine. God says, I want you to depend on me for everything that's happening in your life. Just come to me. I'm your Father. I'm your Heavenly Father. I love you. And you come to me, and I will give you everything you need. And the incredible thing about living a life of dependency on God is that you don't have to be a demanding person anymore. You can live a life of humility and just rest on the laurels of the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you'll give me what I need. And that's what Jesus says is so important in a life of humility. And then when we get good at doing that, there's a second thing. We can stop comparing ourselves to others. That's what John's disciples were doing. They were comparing themselves to Jesus' disciples and saying, hey, we're not getting the stuff that they're getting and blah, blah, blah. And John the Baptist had to set them straight. Well, it goes on all the time. We go into around we look around and we say, oh, look at her hairdo. It's so much better than her hairdo. I wasn't pointing at anybody. Nice hairdo. Did you do this yourself or did you have it done? No, okay. Okay, so, drive down the street and you see another car. And why is it that I'm still driving a 2004 Solara when you've got the good stuff? You know, I don't know how that works. But we compare ourselves in so many different ways. Jesus says, I'm going to turn all this on its head. He says, nothing will kill your joy as fast as equating first with best. So he told his disciples a little story. When you're invited to a feast, take the lowest place when the host comes and he'll say, move up to a better place. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus did not say. He didn't say, be satisfied with the lowest seat if you're forced to sit there. He says, voluntarily, when you enter a place, go to the lowest seat. Don't wait for someone to put you there. Take the lowest seat. That's humility. What happens when you take the lowest seat? You may learn something from the people that are around you. You may have occasion to share the gospel like the Kassans do. As you are sitting there with those people, you never know what might happen. As we mature as Christians, we go from striving to be top dog all the time to learning the value of humbling our lives so that what shines is Jesus in our life. Now, if you're wired for competition, compete. This Bible passage is not telling us that we have to de-throttle our lives in any way. But what you need to compete about is not making yourself be top dog. If you're competing, I mean, if you're trying to make yourself go up in the ladder, get rich, get money, get fame, get power, all those things, that is very petty. That is a very small, puny goal in the scope of eternity, in the scope of life. Instead, if you are wired for competition, why not make God great? Why not place Him first? Why not go into a place to evangelize where the gospel has not been reached? And you say to yourself, I'll take the Holy Spirit, and by George, I want to see if I can't get some people over there to hear the Word of God. Make God the goal. We become humble when we stop trying to get us to look big and we start getting God to look big. And then just finally, humility defines our relationship with God. Have you figured it out yet? The longer you live, the more you find you need to depend on someone else. I recently have found big time how everything I could do, all the will I could muster, could not restore my voice. All I could do is have you folks pray. All I could do is just succumb and humble myself before the Lord. But when I think about it, as much as I try to do this, I go back to Jesus. Because if you want a real model for humility, that's where you go, is to Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He humiliated himself. It's called the state of humiliation. He became a human being. Now, how humiliating can that be if you're God? He became one of us. He became a servant. He emptied himself. He suffered. He died. He faced the penalty of sin. He overcame death. He rose again from the dead. He ascended to God the Father. He's in control and ruling the entire world. And eventually, everyone will know it. And everyone under the earth, on the earth, in heaven above, will be forced to bow down on their knees and face to give glory to God, He, Jesus, who is the Lord above all. And when we come to see how Jesus humbled himself, as we look to Jesus, we see one thing to be true. Humility is never about putting yourself down. Humility is always about lifting God up. And that's why Jesus comes to us this morning again. And he says to us, take my yoke upon you. Now, what is that yoke? It may be your business. It may be your relationship that's suffering. It may be your health that's ebbing. It may be your spiritual journey that is plateaued and you have a lot of questions. Take that yoke this morning. My friends, take it upon and allow Jesus to be our teacher. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Are you doing that? Are you letting go and letting God? Are you resting on Jesus? Do you trust him? Will you humble yourself before him this morning? Well, if you will, you'll have a tremendous freedom. You'll be free from all the constraints of being top dog. You'll be able to allow God to guide your love, your life, your business, your family, your journey, your ambition. Humble yourself and find real life. Amen.